Okay, we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be reading through verses 14 through 17. We're going to be continuing with our Who's Your One series, and we talked a lot about that last week, and I know you had those, we had those cards and all laying in the pews. I know not all of you picked one up, so guess what? They're all in the foyer now, so you can get one as you leave out. Don't forget to get a bookmark so you can write down a person that you're praying for. Don't forget the little card. You can tear that off, stick it up somewhere. The bookmark you can stick in your Bible, because I know everybody reads their Bible every day, and that way you can see that person in your that person's name in your Bible and remember to pray for that person. And we've even got the ping pong balls. We've already talked about that too. Put the person you're praying for, put that person's name on one of those ping pong balls, drop it in there so that we can look at that and see that every day, every week when we come in here, so we can remember to pray for one person. Because I think every one of us should have a friend that needs to know Jesus. Amen? In the least, do you understand the least? God commands us to share the gospel with those people. But the least you should be doing is praying for them every day or inviting them to church. You know, I mean, that really takes no physical effort. You've just got to pray for them. You've got to cry their name out to Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're going to be doing. That's what this challenge is as we go through this Who's Your One push, this evangelism push. This series is a specific call for each of us that call ourselves Christians to evangelize those who don't know Christ. Just like we said last week, it's to share the gospel of Christ with those who don't know the gospel of Christ. It is to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know the good news of Jesus. It is to evangelize, is to tell someone they can receive forgiveness for their sin by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins. It's to tell others about how Jesus loves us so much that He made this sacrifice, the sacrifice that we couldn't make for our sin, so that we could be delivered from our sin. I know we talk a lot about eternal life when we share the gospel, but you know what? We can't have eternal life in Jesus until we are delivered from our sin. And the only way that we can be delivered from our sin is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to having a relationship with Him and accepting His free gift of grace to us, to forgive us of our sin. And that's what we've been taught. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. Evangelism, how evangelism is part of God's plan to save others. It's part of His plan to grow His church. Like we said last week, you want to see Slackland Baptist Church grow? You know what you need to do? You need to start sharing Jesus with people. You know what? At a minimum, you need to pray for them that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate them and save them. You need to invite them to church. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Was it this week? Was it last year? Was it 5 years ago? You know? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Guess what? Invite them to church. Pray for them. Then put their name on that ping pong ball and put it in the foyer. So if you don't remember it the rest of this week, you'll remember it next week. When you see that ping pong ball you put in there in the foyer. So it's important for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls us as believers to share His good news with our community, with our world. And you know what? He commands us to do that. He commands us. Rick was talking about it this morning in Sunday school. He commands us to share His gospel with others. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I remember an old preacher of mine used to say the reason he says lo, because he's there with us even when we're sharing the gospel in the low places. But what it really means is to get your attention. Hey, I'm here with you. But I really love the way that preacher described it. So when we're sharing gospel in the low places, we ain't got to be scared because He is with us. So let's do that. There's no reason to do that. And last week we talked about how God may call us to do other things, but we talked about this one mission that He gives us. This one mission to share the gospel should be at the front of our lives every day as we seek to serve Him. It's to share His message of salvation with others. And what we're going to discuss this week is how that gospel message is the one message of importance to people who do not know Jesus Christ. It is the one message that can save them and bring them into salvation with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about today, is this one message. If this one message of importance to people who don't know Jesus Christ, that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that have not asked Him to deliver them from sin, that have not surrendered all to Him. This one message that Jesus has for us to share with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our enemies, and those that we don't like. He tells us to share this message with everyone who does not believe. Here in our text this morning, we're going to read verse 16, where this one message is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's that important, y'all. It's that important for us to do this, to share this gospel message of Jesus Christ with the world. So let's read this morning. We're going to look in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 14. I want to ask everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to be starting in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 14, where it says this. Paul writes, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank You for Your Word. Father, I pray, God, that You would teach us to share Your gospel. That, God, that we would be unashamed to share Your gospel. That we would go out, that we would look for opportunities to share Your Word. And God, I ask You to bless us this morning as we read Your Word. We ask You, God, to speak to us through it. I ask You, God, to speak through me this morning as I teach it, Father. Help me to say things that glorify and honor You. And Father, I ask You to bless us, Your people, as we seek to follow Your will. Thank You, Father, for loving us, and thank You for saving us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, one of the first things we want to talk about this morning as we read our text is how Paul talks about here, one of his motivations here is he says that he is unashamed of the gospel message. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be unashamed of the gospel message. You know, sometimes we don't share the gospel. Sometimes the reason we don't is because we fear a couple of things. Maybe we're ashamed because of our fear. Maybe we have a fear of not saying the right thing. So maybe we have a fear of not being worthy to share the gospel. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. If you sit here this morning and you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer in the Son of God, you call yourself a follower in the Son of God, you're worthy. You know what Jesus calls you? If you are a follower of Him, He calls you a saint. And a lot of us, we don't like to be called saints, do we? We think, well, I'm not a saint. And I've told you before, either you're a saint or you ain't. Okay? Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you're going to hell or you're going to heaven. It's that simple. There's no in between. We don't practice Catholicism here where there's some type of purgatory. You know, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And I don't know about y'all, I want to go to heaven. Okay? That's why it's so important, it's so vital that we as Christians that we recognize the fact that we are saved by Jesus Christ, that as believers, as followers in His Word, we're saved. We have been delivered from our sin. And we have access to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you've got to have that relationship with Him. And that's why Paul talks about here. He's got that. He gets it. How many of you get it this morning that it's our job to, as we serve Jesus Christ, as we follow Him, to share His gospel with other people? I'm telling you, Paul gets it. That's why he says he's unashamed of the gospel. In the first verse here, verse 14, Paul starts off the text by saying, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Let me tell you something. One of the things we talked about this morning in Sunday school, as we started learning how to share the gospel through the Best News Evangelism tool, we were talking about motivation. And Rick talked about that, how we're to be motivated. We read that in the book, right? I got a copy of the book right here where it talks about our motivation. Let me tell you, Paul's motivation, he says it right here in verse 14. He says, I am a debtor. When he says that, think about this. What is a debtor? What is somebody who owes a debt? Well, it's somebody, say again. They're obligated. Very good. There's an obligation there. Somebody studying the notes. There's an obligation there. You know what? There's a responsibility. Those of us who follow Jesus Christ, guess what? You have an obligation to share the gospel of Jesus. And that's what Paul's talking about in verse 14 as we read that. Paul says, he starts off, he says, that he is a debtor. And anyone who has Christ has the answer to the world's deepest need. Any of us who have Christ, we have the message of how to be delivered from sin inside of us, because Jesus has told us that. He saved us from our sin, right? And we have that knowledge. And we have the method of escape from an eternity in hell by being saved, by Jesus Christ. We have the promise of Jesus Christ to have eternal life in Him. This puts those of us who know Jesus under a obligation, a solemn obligation, to share the good news with all people. Now, that brings up the big question, right? How many people have you shared the gospel with? Don't answer these questions now. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have shared the gospel with somebody this week? How many of you have shared the gospel with somebody this month? How many this year? How about, let's say, how many of you have shared the gospel with somebody since you got saved? That's a tough one, isn't it? You know what? A lot of studies show that some Christians get saved and they go their whole life without sharing the gospel with somebody. They go their whole life without doing that. True Christians believe that everyone must believe and surrender to Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Those of y'all remember Rick saying that in Sunday school this morning? That's what we have to do. Everybody can't, and you know, this is the thing. Everybody can't just believe what they want to believe. You know, that's what society says today. That, well, it's okay. Everybody needs to have their own belief. They just need to have a belief. That was one thing we heard this morning, right? Wrong. That's not right. That's false teaching. And if any of you have ever heard that, I'm telling you, it is false teaching. The only way you can receive forgiveness of your sin is through Jesus Christ. And we have to share that message with others. It's one of those things, you ever heard the saying, we'll just have to agree to disagree. No, you can't. You can't agree to disagree when that person's wrong. Because there is only one way to receive forgiveness, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is only one way to receive eternal life. And that's what Paul's talking about here, that when he says that he's a debtor, he's saying that he is obligated to share the gospel with both the Greeks and the barbarians. Now he says this, he's obligated to share the gospel with the Greeks and the barbarians. Normally, Paul would just say to the Gentiles, but he's trying to make a point here. Because in Rome, the Greeks would have been the educated people, the more enlightened people. The barbarians, well, not so much. They were uneducated. And they were considered a different type of people. You know, that's the same way with us. The lesson in that for us is that we are obligated to share the gospel too with everyone, with every race, with every person, with our enemies, with our friends, with our family members, even the family members we don't like. We are obligated to share the gospel with them. You are obligated to share the gospel with people that you don't know, with the homeless. Maybe you don't like that, you know, because you approach a homeless person in a big city, right? Sometimes they don't smell too good. You know, sometimes there's issues there. Maybe they've got some issues there that you don't want to be around. Guess what? You are obligated to share the gospel with them too. And that's the lesson that Paul is teaching us here when he says, I'm a debtor to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. That's what he's saying. We can't pick and choose who we share God's message with. We just can't do that. His one message of salvation is for everybody. His one message of salvation is a message that we, as believers in Christ, are obligated to share. He also says that he's not ashamed to preach the gospel. Here in verse 15, he says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." You know, Paul preached the gospel all over the world. He was able to preach the gospel to everybody. But when he writes this letter to Rome, you can tell he loves preaching to everybody, but man, he can't wait to preach in Rome. You can just tell it. Have you ever been that like that before? Have you been so excited to do the work of God that you're like, man, I can't wait to wake up in the morning to do it? That's what we hear from Paul here. He's excited to preach the message of Jesus. He is excited to preach the gospel. And he says he's ready to preach the gospel. And in verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And what he's saying here is, you know, this city of Rome, out of all the cities Paul has preached about, preached in. A lot of us, we've been sitting on, a lot of y'all have been here for Wednesday night Bible study where we're talking about Acts and we're hearing about all these cities. Right now, where we're at, Paul's in Ephesus, right? That's where we left last week that he was in Ephesus. And we know it was an evil city, that there was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of magic and stuff going on there. And Paul was preaching against this, that it was not of God. And these people were, and he was fired up doing that. But you know, even preaching in those cities like this, none of those cities equated to the city of Rome. Because that's what he was talking about. He was talking about how he had ministered to all these other cities, but this desire to minister in one of the most populated and most corrupt places on earth, and neither the power nor the hostility of Rome intimidated Paul. Look, we see Paul here talking about, so as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. That's the way we need to be. We need to be excited about it. We need to be followers of Jesus who are not intimidated by anything, that we're ready, both in and out of season, to preach the Word of God, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. We have this obligation, and we're not ashamed of it, and we're excited about it, and we're motivated to do the work of God. It's just exciting to me whenever we have a chance to do this. He was convinced, just like we said earlier, that the gospel must be taken everywhere. The gospel must be taken to everybody. And that's what he's talking about here. That's the motivation. Just like we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He was convinced that this had to do this. And it added to his obligation to preach the gospel and readiness to preach the gospel. He's unashamed to preach the gospel. You can hear the eagerness of Paul to preach this simple message of the gospel. What is the simple message of the gospel? The simple message of the good news. It's a simple message of surrender. So folks, when we share that gospel with others, we need to tell them, look, all you got to do is give up. You just need to give it all to Jesus. And it's that simple. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a simple message of surrender. It's a simple message of simple faith. And that faith in Jesus Christ. It's a simple message of believing in Him to deliver us from a life of sin that can only be received by accepting His gift of grace. That's all it is. And why would we not share that simple message with others? Why would we not seek people out to share that word with? Why would we not do that? Why would that not be our motivation? Why would we not feel that obligation to do that? I'm telling you, if you're holding on to God's gift and not giving it to other people, that's selfishness. Because He calls us to do more. And you know what? You don't have to fear anything in sharing that simple message, because the power and the might of God's simple message is with you. The next thing we see here is as Paul is unashamed of the gospel might. And he's talking about this power of God that we read in verse 16. So he says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For who? For everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek." So Paul was not ashamed to take God's good news to the people of Rome. Because he knew that it is the power of God to salvation. He knew that it tells how God, by His power and might, saves everyone who believes in the Son. Everyone who asks for forgiveness of sin. Everyone who surrenders to Him. That's what he sees here. And he's got that power. This power and this might, it's extended equally to everyone. He sees and he understands the righteousness of God. We read there in verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So I got to get some drink, y'all. I had that dry spot a second ago and I didn't want to quit, and I got to quit. So the righteousness of God is how He justifies sinners by faith. And the reason, He does that because the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. How? How is it revealed through the gospel? Well, I'm going to tell you. The gospel tells us that God demands that sin be punished. What is that punishment? Death. Right? The punishment for sin is death. So, had Jesus Christ not come and fulfilled that punishment for sin for us, it'd be us on that cross. Okay? It would be us. So it says the punishment of sin is death, but then because of God's love, He sent His Son to die in our place for our sin. And that is His grace. Now, because of His grace, we receive His righteousness by being saved by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, it says this in Ephesians 2:8, that by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. Right? You have been saved. It says that by grace you have been saved through faith. What does it say at the end of verse 17 in our text? It says that the just shall live by faith. That word just right there, that word just is only used in a couple of places in the Bible. It comes from the Greek word dikios. Man, I said it right the first time. Dikios. It comes from the Greek word dikios. But there's 79 other times in the New Testament that word is used. But you know how it's translated those other 79 times? Righteous. So we are just is the same thing as being righteous. So when it says the just shall live by faith in verse 17 of our text, it's the same thing as saying the righteous live by faith. The righteous. So through faith in Jesus, we receive His righteousness. And that is the righteousness of God. What I just did here, that's called expositing the Scripture, okay? And that's how we receive that righteousness through Jesus. Look, do you think you can receive righteousness on your own? It's not through anything we do, church. It's through our faith in Jesus Christ. And look, if we have faith in Jesus, we will share that faith with others. Remember we talked about that last week? How Jesus looked at the men who brought their friend to the feet of Jesus, lowered him through the roof, you know? And it says that Jesus, seeing the faith of them, forgave the man's sin. Look, we receive our righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. If we have faith in Jesus, we will fulfill the obligation of sharing His gospel. We will cease to be unashamed of the gospel. And we will be excited about sharing the gospel. Why? Because we have the righteousness of God. Because it is revealed to us through the gospel. It says this in Hebrews 10:38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." That verse again. The just shall live by faith. That comes from Habakkuk chapter 2. That's a quote that Paul's using there and that the author of the book of Hebrews is using there. And it is talking about a life that pleases God is the life that lives in faith and righteousness in Him. And if we are living in faith and righteousness in Him, then we are going to share the gospel. Because you know why? It should excite you enough to want to share it with other people. Look, if you have faith and righteousness in Jesus, when you get ready to leave the house every day, you should be thinking to go to work or go do whatever it is you do all day long. You stick your key in the car and crank it up and you start backing out of your driveway. You ought to be thinking, "All right, God, here we go. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm ready." you know, and be fired up about it. Because you have salvation through Jesus Christ. He has delivered you from your sin. You have eternal life through Him. Remember when you first got saved and you couldn't wait to tell somebody else about it? I know I couldn't. I was excited. I went to school the next day telling guys about it. And they said, yeah, I know. I've been baptized too. You know, and I was like, well, I get to get baptized next week. You know? But we kind of lose that over the years, right? Well, God wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to fill you with His righteousness to motivate you to fulfill this obligation that He has for you to share His gospel with others. And that's why we should be unashamed of the gospel ministry. Because I tell you, there's just nothing better than the gospel. You know why? And I've got it written down right there in your notes, right? Why do people need the gospel? Because they're lost without it. It's the only way they can get saved, y'all. That's why they need the gospel, so that they can understand how Christ loves them. They need the gospel so that they can understand how to be delivered from their sin. They need the gospel so that they can understand how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need the gospel to understand all of these things. And how are they going to receive it if you don't tell them? Look, I know you, some of you might be saying, well, that's what you're here for, preacher. Well, look, I can only water the grass so long. And then some of y'all got to come out and do it. Because the Bible doesn't say that He doesn't call the preacher to do all of that. He calls the preacher to equip the saints. What did we say earlier? Either you're a saint or you ain't. You're the saints. So He calls the preacher to not only, we share the gospel too, but He calls the preacher, the evangelist, the pastor, He calls them to equip the saints, to continue the ministry of evangelism. That's what He calls us to do, and that's what He calls you to do, to come and do the same thing, to step out. And you know what the verse says that, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, that's not just talking about preachers and missionaries and stuff like that. That's talking about all of us who believe in the Lord. All of us who follow Jesus. God says, it says there in verse 17, and I just love this. I love these verses like this. It says in verse 17 that God is revealed from faith to faith. But look, what that means is this. It means that He's revealed from faith from the start to the finish. That's what it means. From the time that you first have faith in Him to the time that you meet Him in glory. You know, there's several verses like this where it uses one word for two instances like that. I just love them. In the book of Psalms, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, for they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Instead of getting weaker as the journey progresses, they continue to get stronger because they go from strength to strength. It's the same thing with us as we do this. It also says this in 2 Corinthians. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same glory, or to the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's saying that we move from one glory through Jesus Christ to the next glory through Jesus Christ. Till ultimately, at the end, we achieve that final glorification in Jesus Christ. And that's when we go to heaven. So here's the message there. If we're going from faith to faith, and we're going from strength to strength, and we're going from glory to glory, when does the mission of sharing the message end? Well, it ends when you leave this earth. Because God gives us His power from faith to faith. He gives us His power from strength to strength. He gives us His power from glory to glory. So there's no reason for you to stop sharing the gospel. And that's what He calls us to do. Because only the gospel has the power for salvation. Why do people need the gospel? Because they're lost without it. And you know, some of you in here, you may be lost this morning. Maybe you're having a problem understanding this gospel message. Well, let me tell you what the gospel message is. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it is good news. But you've got to understand that before you hear the good news, you've got to hear the bad news. And the bad news is this. We have all sinned, and our sin has separated us from God. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it also says that the wages of sin is death. And that's bad news. But you know what? There's worse news. I can't do anything to save myself. Not myself. I can't do it. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ that I can be saved. That's the worst news. We can't remove our own sin. It says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." But even with that bad news, even with that worst news, there is good news. And the good news is this, is that at the cross, Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Through His work on the cross, He died on a cross and He shed His blood to pay for our sins. Because you heard us a while ago, what's the punishment of sin? It's death. So Jesus took that death upon Himself for us. And the good news is that the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We read that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But even with that good news, this is the best news. The best news is that through faith, we can freely receive forgiveness, we can be delivered from our sin, and that we can receive eternal life through Him. It says this in Romans 6:23. We read part of it a minute ago. It said the wages of sin is death. But the rest of it says the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, let me ask you this. Have you received that eternal life through Jesus this morning? What you have to do to accept Jesus is you have to do this. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then you'll be saved. Maybe there's some of us in here that need to take care of that today. Well, you're going to get an opportunity right now today to do that. Maybe some of you, like we said a while ago, maybe some of you, it's been a while since you've shared the gospel. Maybe it's been a while, maybe you haven't shared the gospel since you heard the gospel and it saved you. Well, guess what? It's time to get started. It's time to fulfill that it's time to quit being a debtor, like Paul said, and share his message with others. And some of you may say, well, Jay, I just don't know how to do that. Let me tell you something. If you understood it well enough that you got saved, guess what? You should understand it enough to share it with somebody else. Okay? You just let the Holy Spirit take over. You may think, well, I'll be stuttering and stammering. I done told y'all last week. Y'all come in here every week and listen to me stutter and stammer up here. The Holy Spirit can work through any of you. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to come down and you need to make that right today. And if you need to recommit and rededicate your life to Him, that where you're going to start from here forward, doing the work of the gospel and sharing the gospel and giving that message to others, then come and dedicate yourself to doing that today. Let's stand and sing.